Good morning, church. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has called us to be here today to gather together on this Memorial Day weekend to worship Him and to give honor and glory to His name. I'm Pastor Jim. I get to serve Jesus here with all of you, and it's good to be with you. I just love getting together on a Sunday morning, no matter how hot or cold it is, to come together to share this time together. And this is a very important week, a very special week. Already, I know many of you are planning barbecues and planning parades and going to special events, all to observe the wonderful day of Ascension Day. Every year, Brett, every year I remind everybody it's Ascension Day, and no one ever gives me an Ascension. One person in the whole 4 years has given me an Ascension Day card. Ascension Day is a forgotten day in the life of the church, but those of you who have been with me for a couple of years know that it's my absolute favorite day of the year. Ascension Day, the day when Jesus brings his disciples to a mountaintop and tells them to go and do the work that he's been doing. He blesses them, and in the midst of blessing them, he ascends into heaven to be seated at the right hand of God the Father. So important, because he takes his humanity with him. So it's not only God with us, but us with God. That relationship that Jesus has chosen to make with us, that God has chosen to make with us, is a never-ending covenant that will last long after the world is gone, long after the nations are gone. It's a celebration of the relationship of Jesus Christ. Not only did he come to this earth, but he departed to go to heaven to prepare a place for us. And that's what we'll talk about today as we study the book of Revelation for this Sunday. And then next Sunday is the last Sunday for the Easter season. And then Pentecost comes the week after, and we begin a new season in the life of the church, a season called Ordinary Time. Oh, it's so ordinary. But it talks about the ordinance as in numbers, numbering the weeks that follow Pentecost, preparing for the next season, which is Advent. You believe we're almost halfway through 2019 already. Where did it go? And the seasons of the year remind us that time is precious. But it also reminds us there's a time coming when time will be no more. Talk a little bit about what that looks like today in our study in Revelation. So come with me the second to last chapter and into the last chapter of the book of Revelation. And listen, because the Holy Spirit will use these words to speak to you, even though they've been written 2,000 years ago. Hear them through the ears of the Holy Spirit today. John of Patmos speaking here. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. The Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light. And the kings of earth will bring their splendor into it. No day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Jesus is the Word of God. Thanks be to God. Pray with me, friends. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit. We have heard your word read. May it be proclaimed. May your word and your word only speak to us in this time today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to share with you a story, a joke I heard, and I hope you'll bear with me. It's not my story. I heard it at a banquet last week for the New Day. But it goes like this. A man who was an engineer, who was a fix-it man, passed away. And by mistake, he was sent to hell. And while the engineer was there, he began to look around at the state of hell, and he began to fix things. The plumbing wouldn't work, so he began to fix the plumbing. You know, the electricity, the lights would flicker. So he fixed the light bulbs and replaced all of the wiring. So good new wiring. And he looked around at all the things that could be fixed. You know, maybe plant some flowers here. Maybe sweep up the place a bit. And then he went a step too far. He fixed the air conditioning. And that's when the devil got a phone call. The devil got a phone call from God, and God said, "We've made a mistake, and we sent you this guy. He was supposed to come with us, but he's with you." And, of course, the devil said, "Well, we're not giving him back. This is great. He's doing all these things, and we're not sending him back." And God said, "Now, we really want him. He got sent to you by mistake, and there was this war that took place. We're not giving him back." And finally, God said, "You know what? If you don't give him back, I'm going to sue you, and I'll get him back." And the devil replied, "Where are you going to find a lawyer?" Let's have the benediction. Now, that's facetious, because the devil is not in charge of hell. The devil is afraid of hell, because the final destination for the devil is hell. Hell is a place that's prepared for him. He doesn't rule over hell. He's punished in hell, and Revelation reveals that to us, that the idea that there's a God over the underworld is a Greek idea, and it's kind of infiltrated into the church, and we see the devil as this overseer of the underworld. But it's far from the case that hell is prepared for him, for his punishment, for what he's done to the nations over the course of the millennia. The devil has been an adversary. The devil has caused wars and rumors of wars and pitted brother against brother, nation against nation, friend against friend, and has just caused all this discord. And so in Revelation, we come to understand that he makes his last big move, and that is futile against the power of God. And he is done away with forever. But other things are also done away with forever. And we talked about a few of them last week, that death is done away with forever, that suffering and pain are done away with forever. And there's this strange passage in Revelation that says the sea, the ocean, is done away with, that the ocean, the sea, is no more. And that can be difficult, because I know a lot of you, when you want to go on vacation, want to go to the beach, enjoy those soothing waves. But remember, we're reading this with apocalyptic eyes, that the sea is not necessarily the beautiful ocean, but to think about what the sea represents in Jewish culture. The sea represents chaos. The sea represents the unknown. There is no Jewish army. There never was. They didn't like to go too far out into the water. And so they would have to get with other nations to go across the sea. They did not make, you know, big boats to go out into the Mediterranean. They could handle the Sea of Galilee. But even then, when the storms would come up, they would oftentimes panic. What are we going to do? There's a storm coming. They did not like to venture into the sea. But the idea that the sea would be no more is an idea that chaos is no more. That the fear of the unknown is no more. And that extends not only to maybe monsters out there in the waters, but unknown as in, who is that person on the other side of that wall that we have built to protect ourselves? The unknown of not knowing your neighbor, of not knowing the foreigner, of not knowing the person who you've made every effort to keep out of your life. There's fear involved in that. The undoing of the sea is an undoing of the forces of the chaos and the unknown, so that there is no more stranger. There is no more foreigner. This passage of scripture we read today tells us about the nations coming to live in the light of God's kingdom, to come and live and walk along the river of life, so that all the nations, all the fear of the unknown, all the foreigner, there is no more of that. That all the nations are welcome into God's kingdom. That all of the strangers are welcomed into God's kingdom. That all of the forces of wickedness are done away with. They are not allowed into the city. It's this strange portion of Scripture, Revelation. Because in most ideas of what a peaceful kingdom looks like, most ideas of peace, maybe even in your own mind, the idea of someplace peaceful is not a city. Most folks, the idea of a peaceful place is maybe out in the wilderness, maybe roaming somewhere where no one can bother you. My dad loved to hunt, and he loved to hunt because he was not like his son. He was a shy man who did not want to be around people. And so his idea of a good time was going to a place where no one would talk to him, and he could be left alone. And that's what he did. He'd go out and he would hunt for a couple of days to get away from it all. The idea of going into a city to find peace is foreign to us. It's strange to us. We don't think of getting away for a while as going down to Pittsburgh and going and walking along the busy streets. We don't think of the idea of a peaceful time as going into Manhattan, into the busiest city in the world, and to see the lights and all of the busyness and all of the people that are just everywhere, the traffic. Is that anyone's idea of peace? You can be honest. Not really. And so Revelation reveals this strange thing where the peaceful kingdom is not represented as a quiet garden like it is in Genesis, the beginning. Instead, it is presented as a city, a big city, a huge city where the gates that can keep people out are kept open all the time. And I can't say 24/7 because there's no more night and day. It's all in the presence of God. The idea that God's kingdom is represented as a city presents a challenge to us, that can be peace, but look, no more strangers, no more of the foreigner. Everyone is welcome. The nations are free to come in. The only thing that's not free to come in is violence or hatred, anger, the sins of the world, those are done away with. And the stream is flowing through the city. And what do we find once again that we haven't seen in the scripture since Genesis? But the tree of life, it's back. God had to take it away in Genesis because we had eaten from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And God said, before they eat from the tree of life, I'm going to take it away. And he did. But here presented at the end of the book is the tree that was there at the beginning of the book, the tree of life, where the nations are free to come and eat of its fruit, to eat of the leaves, heal the wounds of the nations. This picture of God's kingdom is not exclusive. It is inclusive. It is inviting. It is inviting the nations to come and to worship God. And the fulfillment of the promise that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord is realized, not with the point of a sword, but by the Prince of Peace. What a vision. What a vision. But perhaps the greatest portion of that vision. He's heard enough. The greatest portion of that vision is this one little passage that says that the people will see God face to face. A promise that is denied us everywhere in Scripture. John, in his gospel, says, no one has ever seen God except for the one who came from God, Jesus. In his ascension, Jesus is inviting us into something that is not just a place prepared for us, but a relationship that is finally made complete and realized here in Revelation, that final picture of us with God for all eternity, not as strangers, not with the separation that we currently experience, but face to face with our Creator in heaven for all eternity. What a beautiful vision that is. But let's not make it some future glory that we might encounter someday. Because the promises of Scripture not only can give us a glimpse into the future, but they can give us a vision for our present, a vision for our current circumstances. Why can't we, as the nations, live in peace with each other? Why can't we, as the nations, hold our gates open for all peoples to come in? Why can't we, as nations, no longer take up sword against each other? Why can't we live into a vision that says that war is no longer necessary because we all live in peace? Pastor, you sound like some hippie. You sound like some guy who's crazy. Well, maybe I am a little bit. But I think that God's vision for the world need not wait until the final outcome. But we can experience a portion of that. Maybe not as nations. Maybe that's too big of a dream. But what about in our community? Can we in our community at least live in peace with each other? No longer take up sword against each other? Can we, as people living in a town together, live as those who have experienced the love of Jesus Christ and give that away? Maybe that's too big. Maybe that's too big to think of a community like that. What about our family? What about in our own little families where we can live in peace with our brother or sister, our mother or father, or even our children? Some of us have more work to do with our children than others. Or with our brother or sister. But it has to start somewhere. It has to start somewhere. maybe that's too big of a vision. What if it simply begins with our own relationship with God? What if it simply begins with us no longer holding hostility toward God? What if it begins with a prayer that says, Jesus, I done screwed up. I've messed up. And I want to have peace with you. I don't want to be a sinner anymore. I want to live in harmony with you. I want to live in peace. Maybe in those moments, we can experience a glimpse of this heavenly picture in Revelation. Peace on earth, goodwill toward all men and women. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.